Our text this morning is again from the Gospel of John. We are in John chapter 6 today. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we open up this text, we ask that you would speak to us from it, that you would give each of us a kernel to go home with today, that we would have our life more in line with your word. To that end we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The incident of Jesus walking on the water is recorded in all 4 Gospels. It is most remembered from Matthew's Gospel, because in Matthew's Gospel, the same scenario happens, but Matthew records that Peter asks Jesus to bid him step into the water, and so Peter steps out of the boat and immediately begins to sink. And we all remember that, but each of the Gospels record this incident after the feeding of the 5,000. And the question that arises to a pastor as he seeks to address a congregation is, what about this incident is so important that all 4 gospel writers inspired by the Holy Spirit included it in Holy Scripture? So Jesus wanted us to know about this. The Holy Spirit inspired 4 different times for this incident to be placed in the Bible. That means that at least we ought to pay some attention to it, even though it's only a few verses. And there are many different ways that we could go. We could talk about Peter and his faithless stepping out of the boat, which was full of faith, but then he loses his faith, so much like us, right? We take a step of faith, and then as soon as we take the step, we begin to wonder. And we could talk about that, and we could talk about the impact of Jesus walking on the water and the fact that it shows some of his power and his deity. We could talk about the fact that in each of the other Gospels, Jesus calms the storm. And in this gospel, Jesus suddenly takes the ship, the boat, to the shore. There's so much in this passage. I encourage you, take a read at all 4 of the parallel passages that talk about Jesus walking on the water. But for today, we're going to talk about this incident from the perspective of the disciples in the boat, experiencing an incredible storm, a storm which was making life very difficult for them. And aside from the fact that they saw someone walking on the water, which they initially thought was a ghost, and they were filled with fear, we're going to look at the storm from the perspective of the people in the boat. Because that's an interesting perspective that we can relate to. Honestly, we're unlikely to see Jesus walking on water until the trumpet sounds, but we are likely to be in situations similar to what the disciples were in. You know, someone once said that in every life, or there are a series of problems, that you could say that life is a series of problems. You are either in a problem right now, or you are just coming out of one, or you're getting ready to go into one. And Rick Warren suggested that the reason for this is that God is actually more concerned with your character than with your comfort. And quite honestly, character is seldom formed in the midst of comfort. And so, since God is interested in our character, storms become a part of life. And that's the first point that we want to observe, that storms are a part of every life. Now, we would like to think that we could avoid storms. And honestly, from a parental perspective, we'd like to think that we could do things to make it so our kids didn't have to go through a bunch of storms. We would like to make it so that it was smooth sailing for our children until we die, because then we don't have to look at it. We would like to say that they're going to go to school, they're going to get straight A's, that all of our children are going to be above normal, and they're going to experience incredible bliss. And we like to think that we should be able to have that. As a matter of fact, oftentimes we talk about it as though that's the way life ought to be. Something bad happens and we say, I don't deserve this. You shouldn't have to go through the struggle you're going through. We have this perspective that seems to imply that difficulties or storms aren't normal. But they are. You understand that is true. You've noticed it if you've paid attention to people around you. As a matter of fact, you've noticed that just about everybody you're close to, even people who, from a casual observance, don't seem to have too many difficulties, when you get to know them and they start talking about the things that are going on in their life, you realize, wow, they're just going through different difficulties than I'm going through. Most lives contain more than one storm in the course of their life. They contain more than one storm which threatens their entire state of well-being. Most people are going to face at multiple times in their life incidences where it seems that the bottom falls out. It takes many different forms, and it affects our lives in many different ways, but they have some commonality. They seem to come up abruptly. Rather suddenly, we discover that our spouse has been unfaithful, and for whatever reason, maybe people around us have recognized, but we haven't. And all of a sudden, we come face to face with it. It may be that we go to the doctor and we know that we've had some spots on our face, but we haven't paid any attention to them. And by the time we go to the doctor and talk about it, we have skin cancer. Others may have been telling us for years, you need to go have that looked at, but we've just ignored it. And so these troubles come along and they seem to be rather sudden. And they take us by surprise. And when they do that, they tend to fill our hearts with fear. I mean, there are certain words that nobody wants to hear. You go to the doctor and he says, we've done our tests and I'm sorry to say that it's cancerous. I've been pastoring for 33 years. I have never once heard anybody say, man, I went to the doctor today and you know what he told me? He told me I got cancer. Isn't that cool? I've heard lots of people say, I went to the doctor and he told me I had 6 months to live. How did that happen? Isn't life supposed to go smooth sailing? The reality is that these crises take us by surprise. It's like someone sucker punches us. And we're overwhelmed with a sense of fear. And what happens when we face these crises? We call the prayer chain. I got two calls today. Okay, they weren't calls. I got two people talking to me personally about it today. Can you put this on the prayer chain? Please pray for. This is a crisis that forces me to get on my knees and pray. And will you pray with me? As a matter of fact, I got three of those today. Somebody in the first service got a phone call just as the service was starting that his dad was just admitted to the hospital. See, that changes your whole perspective, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you came to church, you want to worship, you want to sing, and all you can think about is, what's going on with my dad? That's what crises do. And that's normal. You are either in the middle of a crisis, just come out of a crisis, or you're getting ready to go into one. And when that happens, Our faith is tested. We cry out to God for help. Storms are a part of everyday life. And part of the reason they are part of everyday life, they are part of the life of every believer and every unbeliever, and part of the reason is that God uses those storms in our life in order to bring us to Him. That's why your unbelieving friends who know you're a Christian, who know you have a connection with God, or they assume that you're a Christian, you have a connection with God. Hopefully that's true. When something happens, they pick up the phone and they say, "Will you pray for me?" That's the point where you say, "I thought you didn't believe in prayer. I thought you didn't believe in God." You say, "Well, just this one time I do." Because the storms of life are used by God to bring us closer to Him. The disciples sitting on the boat may have thought, "Okay, we've been on this sea lots and lots of times. No big deal. We'll just row over to the other side." When a storm comes, the first point we notice is that storms are a part of every life. And the second thing is that storms are a part of our life even when we are in the center of God's will. So even when you are in the absolute center of God's will, when you are doing exactly what God has called you to do, storms sometimes come into your life. It was clear from the parallel texts, especially in the other Gospels, it's clear that Jesus actually sent the disciples out on the boat. You remember this incident happens right at the conclusion of the feeding of the 5,000. Where we are told in the passage just before this, in John 6:15, perceiving they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. He had fed the 5,000, and he's escaping the 5,000 because they are intent on making him king. And in the other Gospels, it says, Jesus told the disciples, "Get on a boat and go to the other side." So here's the disciples. Okay, Jesus said to do it. I'm going to do what Jesus says me to do. And they're out there, and all of a sudden this massive storm comes, and you think, Jesus knows everything. Didn't he know there was going to be a storm? Really? He sent us out here in order to fight this storm? What was he thinking? They didn't do anything wrong. They just did what Jesus told them to do. And now they're in the midst of this storm. And sometimes it happens to us. Sometimes we are absolutely convinced that God has directed our steps, that we are doing exactly what He has called us to do, and we still find ourselves in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a crisis. Maybe you're in one right now. Oftentimes when that happens, when the floor falls out, when our life is infested with crisis, when we get a couple thousand bats in the belfry, we think, "What did I do to deserve this? I can't think of anything I did to deserve this." And here's what the Word of God would say to you. Maybe you did nothing wrong. Oh, it's possible. It's possible that you're diabetic because you had one too many Mountain Dews. As a matter of fact, the world will tell you that almost everything bad that happens in your life is your fault. You wouldn't have skin cancer if you had just followed the recommendation of the dermatologist and you had put sunscreen on. SPF 40 is enough. Make sure you don't want to get UVA and UVB because that, you know, and it's all your fault. That's what the world will tell you. And oftentimes it's what the people in the church will tell you, that, oh, you're going through some difficult time. Well, surely it must be your fault. Your spouse had an affair. Well, if you had just been a little bit more giving and kind, and if you had been a little more pretty, and, you know, maybe not. Maybe you're in a storm because it's exactly where God wants you. It is possible to be completely obedient to the Lord and still find yourself in the middle of crisis. How can that be? We have this image, you know, once you get saved, it's smooth sailing. Where did we ever get that? Where in Scripture does it ever imply that once you accept Jesus as your Savior, everything's going to go well for you? Just take a quick cursory reading of Scripture and you find out time and time again that God's servants often end up in crisis. Think of King David, or the shepherd boy David, who serves in the court of Saul, and Saul's throwing spears at him. He's, you know, he's chasing him around, trying to kill him. And what's David done? All he's done is be faithful to God. And how about Elijah? Elijah is, he has his battle with the prophets of Baal, and God sends him to live by the brook Cherith. He says, God tells him, go there and I'll take care of you. He's getting fed by ravens and drinking from the brook Cherith, and it happened one day that the brook ran dry. I'm thinking on that day, Elijah might have said, really, God? What did I do to deserve this? I have done exactly what you have asked me to do, and this is the result. The disciples, they are doing exactly what God wants them to do. And these guys aren't exactly newbies on a boat. And they're afraid of a storm. Why? Why does God put us there? I would suggest that one of the reasons that Jesus sent the disciples on the boat on that day was because of what happened right before. In verse 15 of the text, it tells us that Jesus escaped the crowd because the crowd was intent upon taking him by force and making him king. Now, I'm thinking that if 5,000 people gathered around one of your best friends and you're in the inner circle and they're going to make him king, that might have a lot of temptation to join the crowd. Because after all, these guys are in on the ground floor. If Jesus becomes king, one of them gets to sit at his right hand and left hand, maybe. At least that's what they thought. I think one of the reasons Jesus sent the disciples across that sea is because of the potential of the temptation to join the crowd. Sometimes the crises in our life are there in order to protect us from our own temptations. The temptation to think that we are all it, that we just have it all under control. The temptation to believe that we can do it on our own. So storms can protect you, and they can teach you to trust. Because part of what happens in this scenario is the disciples are there, and they start off, they just trust their own instinct, their own boating experience. But then that becomes futile. And they are forced to trust Jesus. And then storms can teach you how to help others. Because having gone through these particular storms, they in turn are able to help those others who go through storms like that. That's part of the teaching of Scripture in terms of why things happen to us, in order that we might minister to others in similar scenarios. 2 Corinthians tells us that crises in life can also strengthen us. Storms come even in the center of God's will. It's interesting that John tells us in verse 17, that it was dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. I think of reading the Scriptures, and we often read the Gospels as though it's a running commentary, that someone was taking notes and they just wrote in real time. And yet here's a comment that John is making, obviously showing that it's at the end of the story. By the time he's writing this, the resurrection has happened, the ascension has happened. He's writing back and he's thinking about that. And he's thinking about Jesus walking on the water in the middle of that storm. And the Holy Spirit inspires him to write this text. And he says, it was real dark that night. Of course it was dark. It was raining. There was no moon that night. There was nothing to give them light. It was just that them on the sea, in the darkness and in the storm. And then he said, because Jesus had not yet come to them. That's the way we feel sometimes when we're in a storm. When we are in the middle of crisis. It's all darkness. All we can see is this gray cloud hanging over us. Everywhere we go, there's this crowd of defeat and discouragement with just darkness. Because Jesus has not yet come to us. And that's the thing. Storms do not mean that God has abandoned you. Storms do not mean that God has abandoned you. The disciples in the middle of that sea, they all sorts of things could have gone through their minds. All sorts of things could have been pressing in on them as they thought, Jesus sent us out here. Was he just trying to get rid of us? What was he thinking? Why did he do this? Did he just forget? Did the all-knowing God not know there was going to be a storm? Did Jesus just stop paying attention? He got away by himself, and because he's off by himself, he stopped thinking about you? No. Difficulties, crises, storms do not mean that God has abandoned us. Jesus sees our troubles. He knows what's going on in your life right now. The scripture tells us he knows the hop of a sparrow. I'm sure he knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Whenever I think of that passage, I always want to say, everybody do this. Let's give God a workout, because you know, we're going to shed some hair, and he's recalculating as we do this. That's how much God knows about you. No matter what your crisis is, no matter what storm you're in, God knows absolutely everything about you. He knows your heartbeat, your blood pressure, your blood sugar. He knows everything about you. There is never a time in a crisis in your life that God has abandoned you. He is always there. And he cares about our troubles. And we see him walking across the water, coming to the disciples in their troubles. And he does the same for us. And he will do the same for you. Jesus, though unseen, was with the disciples when the first raindrops landed on their heads. He was with the disciples when they started to be fearful and they rowed for hours and got nowhere. And he finally walks across the water. And it's an interesting scenario. All the Gospels say that the disciples were filled with fear. They saw Jesus. They see their relief coming, and they're filled with more fear. And in Matthew, Peter says, if it's really you, tell me to get out of the boat, and I'll walk to you. And Jesus says, come. So Peter goes for a swim. He's trying to go for a walk. He goes for a swim instead. Isn't that like us? And we're in the middle of a crisis, and we recognize that God cares for us. He is there, and he wants to take care of us. We say, I'm going to come. We take that step of faith, and then we immediately look back, and we're full of fear. But that's okay. Jesus walking in the water, it teaches us that just because we're in the middle of a crisis doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. And when he arrives, suddenly there is calm. Each of the Gospels, it talks about, in the other three Gospels, it says, the sea became calm when Jesus got in the boat. And John says, they were immediately at shore. Safety. And that's the way it is in our lives. Oftentimes in the middle of crisis, we go through this scenario and we say, I don't deserve this. Life is supposed to be without troubles. Life is supposed to be easy sailing. Life is supposed to be fine. We say, well, what am I doing wrong? Well, maybe we're doing exactly what God has called us to do. We are in the middle of his will, and we still have a storm. Never forget, God will never abandon you. He will neither sleep nor slumber. The one who watches over you will always be there giving attention to you. And in the midst of a storm, in the midst of crisis, we need to look for Jesus. Walking on our water, coming to us, ministering to our needs, performing a miracle. Because miracles do happen all the time. They happen today. Miracles in the way that relationships are restored, in the way that the system suddenly clicks and everything works. We tend to notice those miracles most when we are in the middle of crises. And that's one reason that storms are a part of everyday life. even when you're in the center of God's will, just remember, whatever your storm, God has not, God will not ever abandon you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I ask that you today would help us to turn to you, to rejoice in the normalcy of life that has crisis, that draws us to you, that teaches us, that trains us, that protects us, and reminds us that you will never, ever, ever abandon us. Amen.